G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we continue our study series in the writings of Luke. Now, we are looking today to wrap up Luke chapter 8, reading from verses 40 through to 56, with some thoughts and some notes and commentary along the way. As we go through each of these different videos, I like to sort of bring forth things that we can use, that we can take home, that we can learn. Two things I have for you today. Number one is remember to pause. Remember to stop. Remember to think as we go through Scripture. And where we see, like we will today, Jesus interacting with, dealing with just, let's just say, everyday people, I want you to take a moment. I want you to pause, to breathe and consider. What might it be like to be in their shoes? To walk a mile in their sandals, so to speak. Not just going straight to the question of what's this got to do with me, but what might it be like to be in their shoes? So let's begin. Verse 40, Luke chapter 8. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitudes welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. So this is returning from the other side, the Sea of Galilee. I think the eastern side, the Gentile side. The Decapolis, the different cities there, and he cast the demons out of the men possessed. What was their reaction? Go away! Go away! We covered that in the previous video. So he goes from there now and he has returned to the Jewish side. And see this incredible difference. They welcome him. They're waiting for him. And we read, behold, verse 41, that there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house. For, verse 42, he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And so then as he, this is Jesus now, as he went, going to Jairus' place, the multitudes, they thronged him. And I want to just pause there. Ruler of the synagogue, this man, Jairus, this is a leader in the community. This is a man who is very well and widely known. This is a public position. He's responsible for the order and the oversight of the synagogue. He's not a Pharisee. He's not a Sadducee. They come up a lot in Scripture. They're like opposing religious sects. They have different beliefs. No, this is a man who, I guess he's like a modern day pastor, but just not in the Christian sense of such things. Well known, hopefully, in this case, I'm sure, well respected within his community. And he comes to Jesus, unlike Pharisees and Sadducees, he comes with no pride, but instead with humility. He comes with desperation. He comes with a need. He comes with faith. That's the most important thing. And I see a parallel here. This is interesting. We see a lot of this in Scripture. Twos. Remember the centurion, chapter 7, I think it was, who had a servant who was ill, near to death. He comes to Jesus. He said, Master, Lord, just speak the word. You don't need to come to my house. I'm not worthy. You just speak the word and I know it will be done. Jairus, on the other hand, comes and says, Master, please come to my house. My daughter is dying. So what does Jesus do? Does he rebuke Jairus for not having the same faith as the centurion? No. He says yes. And here we see this beautiful moment, this beautiful thought. Imagine the desperation. And straight away our Lord goes, yes, take me, I'm on my way. And he's on his way. Then it says the multitudes, they thronged him, meaning they held him back. I don't know if you've ever been in a big city trying to sort of squeeze onto the train perhaps or the bus in that last moment. I've got to get on this one. And there's people just pushing in around you in all places. Well, that's what it would have been like for this. And so he's on his way and then something happens. And we see part two of this one story and intersect. Verse 43, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who'd spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any of them, came from behind, it says, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately that flow of blood stopped. Now, it's easy for us, especially for us men, just to skip over this and go, oh, well, that's nice. Good for her. Let's keep reading now. I want to go with Jairus because he's the one we're more likely to identify. But take a moment, please, if you would, just for one moment, And let's just try and walk a mile in her shoes if we can, to understand her absolute desperation. And I say this because there are times in our lives, yes, even as men, where we are sometimes in absolute desperation. Nothing wrong with desperation. What we need is what she had, what Jairus had, and that is faith. That's the key. So it's been for her 12 years. This is what would usually be just a monthly menstrual period. But it's ongoing for 12 whole years. Now, as I record this, it's 2026. I don't know why I had to think about that for a moment. 2026, if I go back 12 years, 2014, oh boy, how much has happened in my life in that time? That's a long time. And though it doesn't say it, we can probably reasonably assume that perhaps this started with, you know, when her period started. And so maybe she's, you know, mid-teenage, somewhere there, about 12 years. She's now in her late 20s. And in this society, this is what I want you to do. When I say we're going to walk a mile in her shoes, you need to understand what's been happening for her in these 12 years and why she came in secret from behind. You see, in Jewish community, in Jewish law, she was considered unclean, both socially and also ceremonially, meaning that she couldn't participate in worship. It means that she couldn't come into public places like this. And I'm not going to get into that right now. There is good reason for that given in the Old Testament, but this was the Jewish thought at the time. This woman's unclean. And here's the kicker. Anyone that she should touch is unclean also. But she comes in, almost sneaking up to Jesus, knowing that she's not meant to be there, but just believing, this man, he is my hope. He is all I have left. I've spent all of my money on physicians. Nothing has helped. My Lord, please help. And I'm saying this quietly and secretly. I'm pushing through the crowd, and I know I'm not supposed to be here. Help. And she reaches out and she just gets hold of the bottom of the garment, and she feels it in herself instantly. She is healed. And what should have made Jesus then ceremonially unclean actually made her clean, whole, complete, healed. And Jesus, he stops. Verse 45, he says, "Who touched me?" And he looks around, and they all deny it. And Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes, they're all pushing in, they're pressing, and you're wondering who touched you?" But Jesus says, "Somebody. Somebody touched me, for I perceived the power going out from me." And the woman saw. She's been hidden. Listen carefully. She's been hidden and shunned by society her whole, well, let's say the majority most likely of her adult life. I'm just going to take a step there. And it says here that she saw that she was no longer hidden, verse 47. And she comes forth trembling because she's used to rebuke. And she falls down before him, just like Jairus did. And she declared to him in the presence then of all her people her private shame and the reason that she touched him and how she felt it. She was healed immediately. And Jesus' response, oh, this is what I want when I come to him. I want son. He says to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go now in peace." Man, this story, it gives me chills because we too at times are like this. And I see a parallel here. I'm just going to take a sidestep into the modern church for one moment, where too often we are told, bow your heads, close your eyes, lights down, hands up for those of you who want to see Jesus, who want to give your life to Jesus. She came like that. She did. She was embarrassed. She didn't want to be pointed out. She was shunned by society. She didn't want anyone pointing and making fun of her. She came to Jesus like that. But then Jesus, not wanting to embarrass her, but rather to bless her, stops, pauses, calls her out. In the book of Mark, it says that he looked around to see who had done this thing. And he calls her out and makes her private shame public glory for him. For him. That's the key. Your faith, he says, has made you well. And he says it in the presence of everybody there, so that none can deny her anymore because of the healing that has been done. This woman who came in private, he then lifts up. Beautiful. He calls her forward. And others, I have no doubt, were encouraged then by her faith. And I had this conversation just this past week, one of the pastors of our church, about people coming forward. And we talked about that. And I said, yes, I understand the reason. But we need to stand up for God. We need to stand up for Christ. Yes, absolutely. But now I say this to you. Yes, you do need to. It is good for you to step out in faith and come to the front for prayer. Absolutely. But know this. You can come to the Lord on bended knee in the privacy of your bedroom as well, and he will hear you. Son, he will say. Daughter, he will say. Your faith has made you well. Oh boy, what a story. And then we have Jairus. Oh man, we come back to Jairus. I can only imagine Jairus in this is just going, come on. Lord, why are we waiting? Come on, please. Come on. But he says this, he stops this, he pauses this, he says, your faith has made you well. He makes her faith public to also encourage Jairus, which we now see in the text as we continue. And I want to just remind you, it must have been absolutely torture for Jairus to be held up in this moment while Jesus ministers to this other person. But here's my call to you if you see this happening. Remember this. God is never slow, though he may seem to the one who is suffering slow. But faith. And so while Jesus was still speaking, verse 49, someone came from the ruler's house. He brought that news that I, as a parent, pray I will never hear. He brings the news, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. And Jesus heard that. And it says that he answered. I don't even think Jairus even asked something, but Jesus turns and answers this statement. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master. He says, do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well. Now, I have a good friend here whose son did pass away just recently. And I was able to speak at the funeral. And I can only imagine the broken heart. I haven't felt it, and I'm so thankful for it. But I can only imagine that broken heart to hear, your daughter is dead. And my brain, it took too long, Lord. It's too late. But Jesus heard it. The scripture says, listen to this, holy scripture. He answered this saying, do not be afraid, only believe. And there's good instruction there to you and me. I say, yes, we need to put ourselves in the shoes, to walk a mile in the sandals of these ordinary people as they have these encounters with Christ. But we also must listen to the instruction given to us too in that encounter. Two things. This is what Jesus gave Jairus to do. Two things. First, he tells him, do not be afraid. And then he tells him, only believe. Because here's the key. Here's the takeaway from this entire video. If you haven't made any other notes, Make a note of this right now. Write it down, highlight it, underline it, burn it into your memory. Remember this, fear and faith do not go together. Fear and faith do not go together. Because before Jairus can really genuinely trust Jesus, he has to decide. He has to make the decision to put fear away. Us too. Yeah? Verse 51. When he came into the house, he's now at Jairus' house, he, Jesus, permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and then the father and mother of the girl. Now all who wept and mourned for her and said, "Don't weep," he said to them, "She's not dead, she is sleeping." And they ridiculed him, this is Jesus speaking, knowing that she was dead. But he, Jesus, put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." 55. Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished, and he charged them to tell no one what had happened. We could do a whole sermon right then, right there, just on that. But a couple of notes, and if you're taking them, please just jot these down. First things first, notice that no one was permitted to go in except for Peter, James, and John. And these three were often considered, and we see it later on, the inner circle of Jesus. So watch out for that. It says that all that wept and they mourned for her in that day, it was customary to hire, believe it or not, professional mourners. And they would come in and they would weep and they would moan and they would groan and they would show their, you know, outward pouring of grief. This is a cultural thing. I'm kind of glad that we don't do this anymore. But Jesus says, no, she's not dead. She is only sleeping. And of course, they ridiculed him. And he, get out, all of you, now. You and me, we live in an age of ridicule, don't we? Oh boy, yes. If we want to stand up for Jesus at work, stand up for the Lord at school, stand up in our family, sometimes we will cop so much ridicule. People find it easy to make fun of us. And even then, not just Christians, they make fun of anything that might claim to be good. So we as Christians, and I'm going to just say this especially for those of us here in Australia, we got to really try hard not to do the same thing. Tall poppy syndrome, you heard of that one? Yeah. Be careful of the things that you say. But Jesus says, not dead, sleeping. Why? How? Because he sees beyond the physical. He sees with spiritual eyes. He's not out of touch with the reality. He literally here. He sees reality. He knows what's going to happen here. And so he puts them outside to remove all the ridicule, to remove all the, you know, the, what's the word, opposite of faith, to remove all the doubt. He puts all of that outside just like we should, drive it out. And then he speaks. Little girl, arise. And because he is God, he can speak to the girl as if she were alive. Now, this is interesting. We need to understand this now for us, born again by the Spirit of God. Romans 4:17 says, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I know of from testimony of reliable and trustworthy men of this same thing still happening in this day and age. Doesn't seem to be the norm as we see it, but I do know of it happening, particularly in overseas mission. So there's a couple of things here. Jesus speaks to this girl with the power of God in his words, and she is risen. He didn't fail Jairus with the delay. He didn't fail the woman who needed healing. But in serving both of them, he used the delay to actually stretch Jairus' faith even further. And if you've been through the study series on James, you would know that that's just how it happens sometimes, though difficult it is. And in all of this, we can see this work that Jesus does with people. It's different, yet the same for each individual. And if Jesus can meet each individual here differently, he can meet us as individuals the same or differently also. And Jairus' daughter, she had before this 12 beautiful years of sunshine in her life. And all that about to be extinguished. I wonder, I don't know if there is, but I wonder if there's any parallel, because this woman, she had 12 years of agony that just seemed hopeless to heal. Jairus, he was an important man, the ruler of the synagogue. The woman, she was a nobody. We don't even know her name. It doesn't say. Jairus was probably very likely a very wealthy man in his position. The woman, most likely poor. She'd spent all of her money, it says, on physicians for no result. Jairus came to Jesus publicly. The woman came what? Privately. Jairus thought that Jesus had to do something special. Come to the house in order to heal his daughter. The woman just thought, all I need to do is touch his garment. He doesn't even know I was there. Jesus responds to the woman immediately. But Jesus' response for Jairus was on delay. Jairus' daughter was healed. What? Secretly. The woman's secret shame was healed publicly. What do we see from all of that, folks? Let's wrap this up. What do we see from all of that? What's the common denominator when you get in and you step in and you walk a mile in their shoes? Desperation and then hope combined with faith. It's okay to have desperation in your life. Yes, it is okay. But have hope. And have faith. And bring that to Jesus. Public or private, bring it to Jesus. That's my encouragement for you today from this here now. I'm going to ask that you would actually just, when we close this video off, read back through. Now we've gone through it. And just stop and pause and notice those moments. And then thank the Lord for the blessing in your life. And then where there is still more need, bring it to him. With faith and with hope. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.